Well, I'm now in Morelia, by God's grace, and I'm alone out there with my family, but not alone because I have the Lord Jesus Christ with me. So yeah, we moved on to Morelia, and so I ask all that are in Christ, please pray for us that the Lord would raise somebody up to go and help us there in Morelia. Let's have a word of prayer. Why don't we stand and have a word of prayer? Father, for your glory, your honor, Lord, we come and we put this whole conference in your hands. Lord, we ask you just do what you will throughout this whole conference and ask you, God, to bless every speaker. And Lord, prepare these hearts, God, that they would be sensitive to your word. They wouldn't look at men, but God, they'd listen to what you want them to know. Father, I ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Malachi chapter 1, if you would. Malachi chapter 1. If I blurt out a word in Spanish, just understand that a lot of times now I'm thinking in Spanish and not so much in English. Went out preaching the other day with Brother Jeff and Ambrosio and some of the brothers. And, boy, I had the Word of God with me in my hand and in English, and it just wouldn't come out in English. But it finally got there, so y'all bear with me. Malachi chapter 1, I'll give you the verse in a minute. But, you know, I think about the conference, and I think about what we're really out to do, us and each and every one of us. I say, you know, it's not just a time for a certain few to come up and for men to see them and listen to them and all that, but we're out here to be reminded of what God has put in our hands. And now, we need to think about it. A lot of times we focus, and the focus is that, on the lost and dying world. And I don't want to take away from that because that's what it's all about. But you know, I think about something that I think is even much greater. And I say that because it will save men. And it's the glory of God. It's God's glory. It's God being glorified. You know, the world is not glorifying God. And we that have been saved ought to be in the business of glorifying God. And so I want to just bring a couple of verses about that. Malachi 1 and verse 11 says, from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, he'll draw all men unto himself. So, brethren, I want this to be clear, that our purpose, when we speak for God, or when we get out in the streets and preach for God, when we get up here and share for God, or in open meetings or whatever, it should always be for God's glory. Amen. You know, because I have realized something in the little time that the Lord's given me to experience this life of being a missionary, is that you're not going to please everybody. You know, the 90% of the people ain't going to be pleased. I don't know if it's that great of a percentage. But I'm just saying it's a big percentage of this world out there that's not going to like what you and I have to say. And there's many in the church are not going to like what you say and how you live or how you try to live. But I have come to the conclusion is that not everybody's going to like my preaching. Church members, out in the world, they're full of their beliefs, they're full of their ways, and when you come and you go against their grade, some are going to say, that's what I needed, because that happened to me, and that's happened to a few of y'all. That's what I needed. I needed the truth. Amen. I don't need to be lied to so I can feel good. I needed the truth. Amen. I needed some brothers to come point the finger in my face and say, you're full of pride. You know, I needed that. And you know what? There's a lot of people out there in the world don't like it when they say you're full of pride. Church members hate all that. But you know, they're not going to like everything you do. But you know, as I was saying earlier, preaching in the streets, I just want to glorify God. I just want to glorify God because if God's not getting no glory, if God's not drawing people unto himself, I'm going out there and I'm just wasting my time. I'm just wasting my time. So here the Bible clearly says that from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. This is a prophecy. This is God's word that's going to be completed. And you and I have a privilege to join in it. There's too many Christians just laying back and not looking that God, that not looking to have God's name to be great among the Gentiles. He says here, and in every place. He says here, incense, of course. I look at that in the spiritual sense as the gospel. In every place incense shall be offered unto my name and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Hey, that's in Morelia. That's in other parts. That's in Poland. There's other parts out there. I mean, you know, it's not like one place is greater than the other place, because this is talking about his name shall be great in every place. San Antonio, Texas. Oh, I've met a few already of some of my old ex co-workers at HEB and whatever, and you know, it just reminds me, you know, that one of them, it was just a real blessing. We were staying in this room back here, and it was early in the morning, and I was already waking up, and then I heard the water fountain outside, or I heard water running, and I said, oh no, what do we got? A big old water leak, and I'm the only one here. So I opened the door, and there was a man that I used to work with at HEB, the trailer shop, named Juan Cantu. He said he might come out here. I hope he does. But you know, I talked to Juan. He says, Roland, you know, I come by here and walk every day. And he says, every time I come through this church, he says, I think about you. And you know, I said, well, Juan, I'm still with it by God's grace. I'm still with it for God's glory. And you know what? This man has had three operations for cancer already. One on his liver, I think is what he said. Other one is colon, and one on the top of his head. And he took off his cap and showed me where he had operated on. And what I'm saying is that even in San Antonio, they need to hear and hear and rehear. I mean, I was gone, 6 years from this company, 6 or 7 years from this company, and the man looked whole. He looked whole when I saw him out here, much grayer, but he looked whole. But you know what? He's dying. He's dying. And God needs to be glorified in that man's life and in every life. His name shall be great right here in San Antonio. Acts chapter 18. Acts 18.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, his name shall be great. I think too many of us are afraid. It happens to all of us. It happens to all of us. But you know what? I think of what the Lord told Paul. And I don't know if that promise is all clearly directed right at us, but I believe in a lot of ways it is. It says in Acts 18, verse 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Went out the other day, like I was saying earlier, with the brethren that got and preached in San Antonio, and on my corner, everything went well, and we were waved at, people liked us and whatever, but it wasn't the same thing in another corner that I heard later. these guys were shot at with pellet guns, and some guy brought out a pistol, and he was just throwing up a storm, is what I understood from him. And, you know, I just started saying, Lord, are we doing something wrong here or what? I mean, you know, these guys getting all the persecution. But you know what? It wasn't nothing wrong on both ends, because God has a people in this city. Like the brother Dale was saying earlier, you know, how many people are being born every day, and how much has the church grown? But you know, God has a people in this town, and the devil doesn't like it. I mean, you got to realize that you have an enemy, and it's Satan, and he's always out to get you, and usually get you at your weaknesses. And a lot of the brethren are afraid to speak, and I say that because I am too, and that's something I don't want to encounter. You know, just recently down there in Salamanca, after Brother Adrian had gone, I went out to preach in one of the streets there, and I went right in the middle of a hive of Jehovah Witnesses, and I said, man, this looks exciting, you know, and okay, they just went on their way. They didn't bother me, but some Catholic out of his house came out and says, hey, I got my son here. He's trying to sleep, and you come this and that. And then I said, well, I'll move down the ways a little bit, but I'm not going to stop preaching. And I moved down a little ways, and I guess I wasn't quiet enough, and he came out, and he came out with his wheelbarrow or something. He was coming, going to work, and the verse I had was that, you know, every soul shall hear his voice. And so I was harping on that. You might not like my voice, but one day you will hear his voice. You know, he got a little upset, and then he was a little upset. I got scared. He came up to me, and I didn't have Brother Adrian no more. I didn't have nobody else, but the Lord, you know. And this guy took out a knife about that long, and then he opened up, and it was about that long. Oh, boy. I mean, right here is where I started feeling it. I said, oh, man. And so I stopped preaching. I stopped preaching, and I just started trying to get my control inside me, and he's home, you know, this and that and the other. And so I don't know. It was like God's word is faithful that man didn't hurt me. I stopped just for that time. Then I restarted again. And he went on, and he turned back around, wanted to give me a couple, two or three more words, and I just kept on preaching. God's word is faithful. These men were shot at the other day, but they didn't get hurt. Now, I'm not saying that you will not get hurt in this. You know, I'm not going to try to preach one side of the truth. But, hey, our faith needs to be in God, like was said earlier. And God will take care of us. And if he wants us to get hurt, it'll be for his glory. It'll be for his glory, and that's what it's all about. But, you know, he'll give us a way to escape all the time. He says he'll give us that way to escape. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We need to be looking to glorify God. Too many of us, I think, want men's glory, and we don't care about God and his glory. I'm going to read you a verse here in Romans 1 in a minute, oftentimes we read it and we apply it to the heathen world. But it seems to me that it's the people that know God. You know, the heathen world don't really know God. That's why we need to tell them about God. It says Romans 1, 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. But notice something. It says that when they knew God, they glorified him not. It says as God, but they glorified him not. Brother, do you know God? Are you glorifying God? And I don't say that just because I'm on the field, and I know that sometimes helps an individual to preach this. But I'm not saying it because of that. I'm saying because are you glorifying God? I mean, are you in your life glorifying the Lord? You know, the danger of not glorifying God, it says you'll start becoming unfaithful. The way I understand it, neither were thankful. You know, and I see that when I don't glorify God, I start becoming unthankful. Unthankful. Farther from God, as to say, my communion with him, I become unthankful. I become a murmur, a complainer. I mean, I just become unthankful. Have you found that to be true in your life? Could it be because you're not glorifying God? Get in the practice of glorifying God in your level, what God has given you, and you'll become thankful. Another thing, the danger of it for not glorifying God, it says, but became vain in their imaginations. Has sin taken a hold of your heart? Has sin taken a hold of your life? Are you tampering with sin? Are you playing with sin? Are you saying this is okay and now it's all right and I like it? Could it be because you're in this state because you haven't glorified God? That's why it's important to constantly be busy glorifying the Lord. You want to end up in this state? Be vain in your imaginations, vain, hot air, something that doesn't last, and your foolish heart become dark. Think it's wise? He says here, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The real wise one is the one that becomes fools for the gospel's sake. One that becomes a fool for the gospel's sake. You know, that's one of the biggest things they tell us out there on the streets of Mexico is that's loco. It's loco. Hey, loco. I mean, they love it. And I'm starting to like it myself. Because God says he has chosen the foolishness of preaching. In the Bible, in the Spanish, it says, la locura de la predicación. The craziness of the preaching. God's chose that. And that's God's wisdom. It says. But many are going the other way. They're not doing this, the preaching the gospel. They're not glorifying God. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. We need to lift up Jesus. He promised he'll draw them unto himself. You just need to lift them up. You want to become a better witness, a better preacher? Lift up Jesus. Top of your lungs. Lift them up. Philippians chapter 3, it says 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, as Paul says here. He says, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mine earthly things. Why would Paul be weeping? I think it's because of saints. Saints that have become enemies of the cross of Christ. Are you glorifying the Lord? Are you glorifying God? Or have you become an enemy to His cross, to His work that He's done? He says, whose end is destruction? Now, I know this is not talking about an eternal destruction for the Christian, but a destruction in the spiritual life here on earth. Destruction in the life of one here on earth, whose God is their belly. Oh, that's all of us, brother. This preacher right here, poor preacher right here. This is me, Roland, me. I don't want to put no titles on nothing. But you know what? This is all of us. Too often, God is our belly. It's what we want, what we desire, whose glory is in their shame. The wrong place to have the glory, brother. Your glory should be in Jesus. Should be in the business of lifting Him up and not in your shame. Oh, well, I used to be. I once was. Well, God help us. We all can find ourselves in that state, but it's not too late to get back up. It's not too late. Who mine earthly things? Who mine earthly things? Whose thoughts and life is 100%, I should say, in this world, in this life. I know we got cares and things that we have to take care of, and y'all understand that, but is all of your mind on this world's good, on this world? Let's not forget it, brethren, that so our glory wouldn't be in the chain, but it'd be in God. Let's glorify God. Let's go to Romans 15. We have reasons to glorify the Lord. I think one of the biggest reasons in my life, and I think it'd be true for every life here, is because of God's mercy. Has God been merciful to you? Has He spared you? Has He blessed you? Has He blessed your family? Has He taken care of you? Romans 15:9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. You know, that there's a lot right there. There's a lot of message there. And you just read it and concentrate on it, you'll see it. First of all, it says that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. I mean, are you forgiven of your sins?
Amen.
Well, glorify God.
Amen.
Glorify Him. And quit looking for the best for you. His mercy is great. You think about us as, you know, a lot of people esteem the missionary more than the layman. Or I don't want to say regular layman because we all are. But you know, I don't want to get off on too much, but you know, we have the same problems as you have. We battle with the same things. We have to get out and, you know, because it's a call that God's given us to get out and do God's will, even when we find ourselves down in the dumps. But you know what? When you get out and do it, you know, it might not always be sweet roses, but you know, you come back and you say, thank you, Lord. I was able to glorify you. Because really, you are the only one that needs to be glorified. Get me wrong. But God should be glorified. He says here, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause will I confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. I notice this happens in a lot of Christian churches, and this probably has happened here. Some have even left singing. They don't sing no more. It's like, hey, this is old hat or something. They don't sing. They don't praise the Lord. They don't lift Him up. They've left it. But if we remember His mercies, we'll confess Him. We'll confess Him. That's the whole thing, brother. Just confess God for His mercy. Do it while you have a chance to benefit from it. Because you'll say later, why didn't I? Praise His name. Let's go to Jude 25. Jude 25. Another reason why we should glorify God. Clear as day. Too much of us know it up here, but few of us know it in our hearts. Who has given you wisdom? Who has given you light? Who has given you a straight path? A path you can now see in life. It's been God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says Jude 25, it says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power
both now and ever. Amen.
Amen.
That means not just when you first got saved, not just yesterday, but now and forever. It says ever, but forever. Amen. Ever. Amen. God's a wise God. I tell you, I have to just stop and just be honest and say, where would I be? I'm nothing still. I don't want that to be clear. We're nothing still. Some of us still want to be something. We want men to laud us and make us feel like we're something, but we're still nothing. But one thing we can say, one thing we know that God has given us some wisdom. How to raise the families. How to live right. How to be a good steward of what God's given you. I mean, wisdom that only comes from God. Wisdom how to deal with this heathen world. Wisdom how to deal with your own flesh that rebels, that's constantly against God. Wisdom. Well, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty. Because He's the one that's given it to us. Amen. Now let's glorify Him. And it says, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Another reason, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Something that goes along with mercy is eternal life. Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensations of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. We should be to the praise of His glory. You have this eternal inheritance. Did God predestinate you and you know where you're going to go when you die? Well, you should be for His glory. You should be a praise for His glory. Amen. Are you a praise for His glory?
Amen.
I mean, do you think this is just a time that we're going to get together and vote on who and become another politic thing or something? No, this is for God's glory. This is for God's glory. Remember your eternal inheritance. Are you saved today? Maybe that's why you can't glorify God. Maybe you don't understand. Maybe you haven't given your life to Christ. Maybe that's what's holding back. Or maybe it's just sin in the Christian's life. Huh? Hey, don't be fooled by the devil's lie. I tell that because I want to hear it myself. I don't want to be fooled by the devil's lie. The devil has things out there to draw us and cause us to fall that we wouldn't give God glory. You know, we were saved not just to be saved and go on to heaven and live happily ever after. We were saved and left on earth to give God glory. He says, through weakness, His strength is made perfect.
Amen.
Through weakness, His strength is made perfect. Find yourself weak. That's what God wants to use. That's what God wants to use. Just glorify God. Remember your inheritance. Let's finish in Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Glorify God. Just lift them up. Don't worry about what the others think about you because you won't last long. Psalm 115 and verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory.
Amen.
For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake.
Amen.
Think about that, brethren. I just want to put that before you to whenever you serve the Lord, don't do it for yourself. It won't last. It won't go no further. It won't go far. Like David says here, like Psalm says here, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name. And that's what we should be doing, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And He'll do the drawing unto Himself.
Praise the Lord.